I were to look at the companies that I admire the most, that, you know, we modeled some things after when we're building Carrot, and also some of the real estate investment companies that are doing the best financially, that are doing the best mission-wise, that are doing the best in the marketplace, they all have these certain fundamentals in common. And we're going to be going into what those fundamentals are in this episode of the Carrot Cast a lot with my guest, Chris Clothier, who's one of the heads of Memphis Invest, an over $100 million a year real estate investment company. And we're going to go dive deeper into what Memphis Invest does and what Chris does at the company as one of the owners. But this call may not be what you're expecting. Okay, if you're expecting certain things on exactly how they buy 15 houses a week in Memphis, Dallas, and Houston, we're not going to be talking about the marketing that they use there. If you're wanting to learn about, you know, how exactly do they negotiate certain deals, we're not going to be talking about that in this episode. We can save that for another episode. We can invite them back. What we wanted to talk about on this one are those important fundamentals. How do you grow a business that actually means something, that is sustainable, that continues to grow even if you're not involving your time into it, okay? How do you grow a business way past the point that it's just hustling for some dollars to pay your bills, which most real estate investors are in that point still, you know, where you're hustling to pay for some dollars, you're hustling for each deal, and that's not why you became an entrepreneur, odds are. Okay, odds are you became an entrepreneur to get freedom, to make a difference, to make an impact, to really set your family up so you don't have to worry about money, but you do the work you love to do. Most people that I know who are high-achieving entrepreneurs and who are the happiest aren't the people who are out there traveling the world all the time. They're working their butts off, but they're doing work that they really, really love in a business that gave them the flexibility and freedom to do that. And we're going to be talking about exactly how Chris has done that, how we've done it here at Carrot. And really, we're going to dive into a lot about the inner workings of Memphis Invest. Like I said, Memphis Invest is a over $100 million a year business where they buy and sell 600 plus homes a year. They have an amazing team of 70 plus people. They manage over 4,000 units of real estate with their own internal management company, and they have an amazing, amazing culture that you guys should all definitely take notes on. But the one thing I want you to walk away from this call, if you take nothing else from this, is something that Chris mentions about three quarters of the way through the call, okay? About three quarters of the way through the call, that's one of the key things that all investors need to take note of, especially in markets like today where it's a cluttered and crowded market. Okay, how do you cut through that clutter, cut through that crowd, and become a category of one, as Chris says? How do you become that category of one so you don't have competition? All right, well, we're going to introduce you to Chris here in a second. But before we do, guys and gals, make sure to check out our other episodes of the Carrot Cast. Go to carrotcast.com and check out our other episodes there. We publish once a week, and you can always get the episodes of the Carrot Cast about 2 weeks early if you subscribe to us on iTunes. So for those of you who want to get your podcast episodes early, go subscribe to us on iTunes. Just find us on iTunes or go to carrotcast.com and click the iTunes link to subscribe. And one last thing, if you're looking to really grow your business with inbound marketing in this next year and you're not really sure what to do, well, we've got a content marketing plan that you guys can download for free as our gift to you. All you have to do is whip out your phone or grab the phone that you're looking at right now and text the word carrot to 38470. So text the word carrot to 38470. Once again, text the word carrot to 38470, and we're going to email you. We're actually going to text you back and say, hey, what's your best email address? And then send us your email address, and our system will send you the free resources with the content marketing guide. Okay, now, if you, for some reason, don't get the email, sometimes the email systems that people have block the email or something, just hit us up on support, and we'll make sure that you get that guide. But text us at 38470 and the word carrot, and we'll get you that free content marketing, inbound marketing guide and resource. All righty. Without further ado, welcome Chris Clothier from Memphis Invest. Hey guys and gals, Trevor here with the Carrot Cast, and I've been really looking forward to this episode of the Carrot Cast for a while. I know I say that in quite a bit of them,
But Chris and I had a chance to connect, man, it was sometime in the last year, you know, really at the Mastermind down in San Diego. And I think we knew of each other for a little while, but really had a chance to sit down and hang out for a couple of days then. And I've been so impressed, guys and gals, about what Chris Clothier and his family have done in their businesses that I've really taken a lot of cues from what they've done. I've been really learning and studying what they've done in their separate businesses. In the real estate business, you're going to learn a lot about that today. And they have Kent Clothier has his online and software and coaching side of the businesses. And all the things that they have done have turned into really amazing businesses with multiple millions in revenue. But the big thing that we're going to be talking about today, which is really why I want to get you on, Chris, is how you guys not just scaled a business. And we're not going to be talking specific on real estate, because what you guys did to scale the business can be applicable in almost any business. But I want to talk about the culture, you know, how you guys retained it and improved it, how you guys, you know, really focus on a bigger why. And there's some other stuff, man, I really want to dive into that's going to big time resonate with the high achieving investors who are listening to this. So, Chris, welcome on the CarrotCast, man.
Man, thank you very much for having me. I've been like you, I've been looking forward to it. So
cool, dude. So let people know where you're at. So is this a home office? Or are you in your office in Memphis? And kind of what's your life looking like right now, family wise, business wise?
Yeah, this is my office in Memphis, mm-hmm. and this is not the house. I learned many years ago I couldn't work out of my house.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's loud and crazy, mm-hmm. And full of distractions for me. I've got five kids from 15 down to almost 2 now. So
cool.
Crazy there. So this is my office here in Memphis. In fact, it's being packed up right now. We bought a brand new building, completely renovated. It had been vacant for 4 years. Mm. Moved a bunch of our team over into it. Now we're moving people all around. So I'm getting ready to actually give up my office, let someone else have it, because the team needs it too much, I guess. So
cool. Dude, so yeah. I saw, I can't remember if it was on your, it must have been on your Facebook feed. I saw the picture of the new building. So are you guys retaining two different buildings now, your current office space and expanding into the other one, or kind of what's the situation there?
So we have four buildings now, and we had three, and we were kind of busting at the seams a little bit, and we bought one that's, I mean, it's bigger than anything that we've got. It's twice the size of any of our other buildings. Yeah. So it's kind of funny. Right now we have four buildings all in a row, renovated all of them, turned them into really the nicest looking buildings on the street. I mean, we're obviously very proud of it, but we have one sitting vacant right now. We're actually brainstorming on what's the business that we can start that kind of grows off of what we currently do that can be a new value add service for our investors. So we're figuring out what we're going to do with that fourth building now.
Dude, I love it. So I'm going to give a little bit of context and background for everyone listening to this episode. So you probably heard in the introduction that we record those out, you know, post-production. We put some really cool things about what Chris and his company have been able to achieve. But so you guys will do over 100 million or right around 100 million this year, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So that's a big deal. That's not doing a couple flips here and there. How many properties are you guys buying and selling each year? And I know what your guys' business model is, but kind of let everyone listening to this CarrotCast know, let people know what your main business model is and kind of what some of your offshoot businesses are that support that overall structure.
Yeah. Yeah. We will purchase 635 houses this year. And we'll do that. We've been doing that for the last couple of years. Ultimately, we feel like we can grow into doing 800 plus homes a year, because it's all just a function of numbers. Once you figure out how to scale, it's just a function of add a number here and it adds whatever it is your business is there. So we're buying about 15 houses a week. We buy them in Memphis and in Dallas and Houston. That's Memphis, Tennessee, Dallas and Houston are in Texas. So the primary business, really what we started was, we were real estate investors who purchased and renovated, and we're long-term buy and hold investors. We believe in the power of holding a portfolio over time. And we had investors begin to ask us, hey, can you help us do the same thing that you're doing? That's how we formed our company in the first place. We were in other businesses. And ultimately what we did was we built a company that just answered the bell. That's all it was. Somebody asked for something, we delivered. They asked for something more, we delivered. Today, we'll buy 15 houses a week. We will completely renovate those houses. We will place a tenant into it. We'll place it into a management company. We will sell that as a performing asset on the backside to an investor that wants a passive long-term buy and hold portfolio. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of breaks it down kind of simple.
And then you guys also manage the property too, right?
Yeah. So we built a management company today that we're a little over 4,000 properties under management and growing, because even though an investor doesn't have to, they don't have to use us. We're pretty good at what we do on that side, on the management side. So most everybody chooses our management company on the backside.
Cool. Dude, so I want to kind of roll back a little bit. So people kind of have a good glimpse now what your company looks like, the scale that you guys are. Now, a lot of people are probably going, shoot, you know, it's really hard to kind of jump that chasm in your mind to go from getting your first deal done, or let's say you're doing 15 deals a month and sure, you really want to make a big difference. So I'm going to pull back now. So how did you get into real estate in the first place, and how did Memphis Invest get started? I know your dad is huge into that business, and I honestly don't know the capacity of how all you guys started or came into the business. Dude, how did that come to be? How did Memphis Invest come to be?
Well, we all got interested in real estate separately. Mm-hmm. My older brother, Kent, myself, my dad. My younger brother was still in high school and college at the time. So, you know, he wasn't quite there, although he was studying real estate in college. Mm-hmm. But all of us have been successful entrepreneurs already. We've all built other businesses that had nothing to do with real estate. And each of us took kind of the lessons we learned, and in my case, took the proceeds from, you know, the rewards of building a company yourself. And I began to invest in real estate myself. Mm-hmm. I actually listened to, God, what's his name? Carlton Sheets. I've got the Carlton Sheets program. That's the very first thing I ever did in real estate. I bought that. Got very creative on my first deal. I actually traded houses with someone to get rid of one property that would not be a good long-term investment and acquired one that would. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a plan. I didn't set out to do it. It was just something that I wanted to invest. I wanted to build, you know, my net worth. I knew that my company had value, but I had value with my company as well. I wanted something that had nothing to do with me or my company.
Yep.
That's how that started. The company itself, though, you know, my dad, my brother, myself, we were all investing in real estate, but it was really my dad who began to speak at local real estate investors associations, RIAs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of funny. None of us are shy. We'll share anything. Yeah. There are no secrets in any kind of business. And so he's just up there talking to investors about this is what he does and how he does it and how he's built his portfolio. And literally, people began to approach him afterwards, as they always will at a RIA. You know, you're done speaking, there's a whole lot of people that want to talk to you. And they asked him, multiple people asked him, hey, if I've got a full-time job and I don't want to do everything that you've done, will you do it for me? And he realized that, hey, there's a opportunity here. Yeah. And back then, all he did was, he was a wholesaler. Basically, he just found the houses and sold them. Mm-hmm. And then someone would invariably say, hey, will you manage the rehab? Because again, I've still got that full-time job. Yeah. So he began to manage rehabs. Someone said, look, you're successful with your management, which we third-party managed at the time. It wasn't even us. And they said, will you help me find a good management company? Each of these things became like a value add. They all were something that somebody else wanted. And so we just began to do it. We began to, you know what, let's offer it. If somebody needs it and there's a demand for it, why not build it ourselves? And it started. Look, for all you people everybody that's listening, I love telling people that day one, we did one house. That's it. There wasn't this whiteboard master plan to go do something. It was just, let's go buy a house, make some money with it, offer a service on it, and then we'll do number two. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do number four, and then it's number six, and so on and so forth. And before we know it, we look up and we're doing, you know, a good pace, a good scale. And then you begin to find people to help you with it. That's really, it's no different than any other business. That's how it started. Just one.
Man, so what was your business before real estate? So you mentioned you had some success. I'm just kind of curious, what did you do before?
Yeah, it's funny. We were raised in the grocery business. Okay. I started working at 11, bagging groceries and stocking shelves in my dad's grocery stores. Where we learn, it's kind of funny, the grocery industry is it's a customer service business. That's what we took away from it. Mm-hmm. Probably my dad's success as a grocer was having this really, really high level of service. Okay. And you'll see that as we talk. That's a common thread through everything that we do. And so he started the grocery industry. He taught my brother Kent. I came in behind them. I learned it myself. I went and started my own company. Kent went and started his own company. My dad had founded several different companies in the grocery industry, all within that same little industry. So each of us, you know, we were raised in this entrepreneurial spirit. We learned, we went and did it ourselves. And all of us focused on the same thing. It was all about just this high level of service. You know, if you're doing something and offering something that someone else needs and you just offer touches that no one else will, man, you'll grow. We all of us built, massively successful companies.
Man, so one thing that always fascinates me is when people make transitions, right? And I think most people, especially ambitious people, you tend to make several big transitions in your life. And so it sounds like you guys were having success in the grocery business and multiple different things. But all of you, and I'm not sure what the timeline is, we don't have to go into that, but all of you made a transition. So kind of how was that transition for you guys? Were you guys just ready to be done with the grocery business? You're like, hey, we did it. We are kind of looking for a new excitement. Was there a reason, a market change that happened? Kind of what spurred the shift?
Yeah, man, that's a good way to put it. There was, it's a tough industry, man. There's just not a grocery industry. There's not a, no matter which side of it you're on, there's very few players in that industry that, that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is all of us are trading time for money.
Yep.
We are putting our time towards something and we want to get paid the most we can. So that's really what led to the change in the shift. The industry was changing. For me, my focus was changing. I wanted something different. I wanted a new challenge. Yeah. So that's really what kind of spurred the change for all of us was just the industry itself was changing. It was harder to make as good a or be as profitable as a company as we had been. So we were like, let's look to reinvent and do something different. And that's what we did. We just paid attention to what the market was telling us.
And dude, and the reason I brought that up, because I was kind of expecting you to say something like that. And that's awesome because I went through kind of a similar shift myself in about 2011, 2012. And I'm not going to go into that. Guys and girls, you've heard about it on other podcast, on other Carrot Cast. But the thing that's really important there is what I see so much with real estate investors or other entrepreneurs out there is they're not noticing those shifts in their business model. You know, with my previous business, one of the big things I wanted to change was like, man, I want more consistency and predictability in my income. And I want to really grow an asset. And, a lot of wholesalers that we'll work with now, man, they're not shifting as the market shifts. They're seeing that their margins, you know, squeeze down and this and that, and they're not willing to change and shift. And you guys saw your margins squeezing down. You're like, man, here's this other thing that I can start to grow an income stream from that I'm getting paid for, and it grows and it stacks. And if I keep on working it, it's going to keep on getting better, not getting worse. So how are you guys kind of dealing with some of those real estate market shifts, or maybe some of them are just working in your favor right now?
Well, let me tell you that, as odd as it sounds, that the shift in real estate itself has never affected us.
Mm-hmm.
What has affected us is those ancillary shifts. So, the market, you know, takes a tumble. That doesn't affect us.
Yeah.
But lending deciding to pull back and become much, much tighter, that affected us.
Gotcha.
The market bouncing back and lending deciding to stay on the sidelines, which invites in hedge funds, that affected us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny that we've always, always focused on these fundamentals that any business owner should always focus on. That, like, and it's so simple, man. It's like almost the golden rule: treat people the way you want to be treated. We focused on that as a company, and I would say this without reason or without something that's I just can't even recall having ever canceled a contract when we signed it ever. So when we said we were going to buy a house, we bought it. Why that mattered was as the market began to make shifts and lending, today my contract is ironclad.
Yep.
And I can buy property today less than someone else can because of the reputation I've built over time by sticking to my word. And I don't have We don't have a bunch of outs in our contracts. We don't have a bunch of, you know, I want my earnest money back. All that kind of stuff. No, it's pretty simple. If I say that I want it, I want it. Mm-hmm. And that's a simple, you know, thing that talks about the way you conduct yourself really affects your success as a businessman and the way people view you as a businessman. And so for us, all the little market shifts that have occurred, and we've made a lot of changes. I'll tell you about another one here in a second, but the bottom line was being fundamentally sound.
Yep.
And sticking to your word as silly and as simple as those two things sound. It's odd how rare a company you will be mm-hmm. if you conduct your business that way.
Man, we did a podcast with an investor. You might know him. I'm not sure. His name is Martin Bonesire out of Phoenix, Arizona. And Martin buys about 15 to 20 houses a month in Phoenix and Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they're really scaling up. I think they might be close to 30 now. And we had him on an episode a few months back. So guys and gals, go back to the archives, find that episode with Martin. He's a big dude. Like if you see him on video, he's a big dude. He's a 2-time Olympian, like in judo or something like that. But awesome dude. Anyway, so one of the big takeaways from there was we were talking about the market and how it's gotten really competitive. And in a seller's market like this, you have a lot more people who want to come in to be real estate investors, wholesalers or flippers, because the market's doing great. Everyone and their dog's doing it. So they think they should do it. The inventory gets tighter. And he's like, man, so yeah, the inventory's a little bit tighter. But he said, I'm going in oftentimes with 3 investors that have higher offers than mine, and I'm winning the deal. And he's saying the same thing. They go in with their shirts, with a polo, you know, with their logo on it. So they've kind of got the professional presentation. They have really clear morals and core values that they stick with, and they use those as a marketing point. They say, you know, if I make you an offer, and we say it's going to close on X date, it's going to close on X date, and we're not going to pull back out of it. You don't know what these other people are going to do. All that stuff, man, it's so important. Like you're saying, people for some reason, they look for that next tactic and technique rather than the fundamentals like you guys have built your business on.
Well, it's a difference between operating, with a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset.
Yep.
And if, when you operate from an abundance mindset, you know that whether I get this or don't get this, it doesn't affect me, but whether they sell the property to me or don't sell the property to me, it affects them. Mm-hmm. And if someone else comes in and says, I have to have this, or I need my business to be a certain way. There's scarcity. They're not sure where their next deal, their next dollar is going to come from. And so it's sad. It's operating from fear. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for us and even it sounds like for him, this is when you operate from a standpoint of clarity and not, you know, whatever you put out there is abundantly coming back to you. You're going to do great. That's mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in it. I don't mean to get all woo woo on you, but
I love it.
I'm a big believer in it, man. I'm a big believer in it, and it's taken me time to learn it. And sometimes I forget it, and sometimes I go back to being fearful and scared and all that kind of stuff. But that's part of life. But I'll tell you that's a cool thing to hear because it is true. If you know your reputation, the way you conduct yourself, it will matter a lot. Mm-hmm.
Dude, so kind of changes topics a little bit. So talking about abundance and scarcity mentality, in a market where inventory gets a little bit tighter, of course, it could be a little bit harder to find a deal. I know you guys have some ways you run your business that makes it so your offers are really, at least I've heard, kind of let me know this, but your offers are kind of more dictated on the return your investors looking at getting. So you're not bound to a certain, you know, price, but also, kind of when did you guys make that decision to expand out of Memphis? Was it an issue with inventory or were you guys going, hey, you know, we're still getting the inventory here. We want to expand the business as a whole.
So every decision that we've made has been dictated by demand. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we moved out of Memphis because we could clearly see that demand was going to far outstrip what we were comfortable providing. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. With one little caveat. See, we could do all the business we want here in Memphis. I could go buy 100 properties today for $10,000 a piece. I could put $10,000 markups on them, sell them all, make a million. I could literally make $1 million before the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I know I could. I won't do it. The reason we went to other cities was that demand was growing. But the number of properties we could get that fit our criteria, fit what we wanted to manage, mm-hmm. It was important to us. See, yeah. we we're only in about 30% of the city right now, 35% of the city. And a lot of people say they think it's because of price points, that kind of stuff. And it is a little bit, but it's also because we want to be in places that are in high demand. Mm-hmm. Our average length of stay, over 4 years. Hmm. Now, that's not by accident. That's because we don't purchase and renovate and manage in areas that are going to take up our most precious resource, which is our people's time.
Yeah.
So we try and stick in areas where there's higher demand, higher rent rates. There's going to be a better resident, hopefully a better qualified resident that's going to be living in that property that's going to want to stay there for a longer period of time, which means we can manage more properties with fewer people. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest takeaway is that, is it a better return? I think it is. Is it a more consistent return? Absolutely. Is it a more secure investment? Sure it is. But it's a great business decision. Mm-hmm. I get to do more with less by just making that call. And so why go to Dallas and Houston? Because I need more of that better property. I don't need to go into a different class of property to hit my numbers. I need to stay in the same class and go to a different city. Mm-hmm. It costs more. It's riskier for us as a company. But if you're crystal clear on who you are and what you want to provide, you'll attract what you're looking for. And mm-hmm. that's what we've done.
Dude, that's really important. So I'm going to kind of translate this in people's minds to other types of businesses too, which is great. So kind of even looking at Carrot, we made a really conscious decision about a year into the business, what price point we were going to go after and why and things like that. Even still, we'll get consistently people coming and saying, hey, you know, one of your competitors is half the price. And we're going, you know what? That's awesome. He can be half the price. That's great. We're going to be at this price because, like you said, now we can run a better service, invest more into a great service, hire and pay better people more money, and do it on less. You do it on fewer people, which then there's less structural cost or whatever you want. I'm sure there's some fancy business term to it, like team debt or something. I don't know, but there's less structural cost to managing that versus us cutting our prices in half like the competitors do and having twice as many customers, lower margins, which means miserable for everyone.
Well, I'll tell you, we have a lot of, and this is definitely applicable to anyone watching mm-hmm. in any industry. We made a concerted effort back, I think 2011, 2012 is when we really started focusing on becoming, we read a book called Becoming a Category of One by Joe Calloway. And we just decided when we read that book that we were not going to have competition. Yep. It just doesn't exist. That it's that thing of find out what everyone else is doing and do the exact opposite. Do the one thing that everyone else is scared to death of doing. I think that we've successfully today created a company that is a category of one. We don't have competitors. There's other people that offer passive investments, and that's fine. But there's no one, mm-hmm. no one that does what we do and the level we do it.
Dude, you know, too, kind of this one little tidbit here kind of exemplifies that. You'll find copycats in a bunch of different cities where it's like blank invest or blank, whatever city it is. And I've even seen some where they very, very closely emulate your guys' logo and branding. I'm sure you guys know about all this. But the thing is, they're seeing you guys as not just a company or competitor. They're seeing you guys as a model. Like you're saying, they're like, they have created this category and we're going to piggyback off of this and try to be just like them. And it's not just another investor. It's not just someone saying, hey, I want to do turnkey. It's them saying, I want to do Memphis Invest.
Well, and let me be clear that, like I said earlier, there's no secrets. Mm-hmm. I mentor several turnkey companies today.
Yep.
I want people to be successful. And if that means that they're going to emulate us or try and, you know, kind of copy us, that's fine. But the reality is that these aren't just words for us. It's not just mm-hmm. marketing. It's not just, I mean, there's a methodical thought process that goes behind everything that we do. And so, you know, if somebody truly wants to do what we do, we're an open book. Yep. I mean, come on. But the reality is that it's tough. We did not go into business and become entrepreneurs to work the 4-hour work week. Mm-hmm. And that's not a, I love Tim Ferriss. I think that's more about focus and leverage than it is about literally 4 hours.
Yep.
But the point is that we came into work. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's what we demand of our team. That's what all of our people around us. And so that's what makes this thing go is that we love what we do. This isn't, Which is why we say that we don't have any competitors, because mm-hmm. most people are just not quite willing to go as hard as we are.
Yeah. And dude, I want to start to dive into this too, because this really resonates with me, and we've talked about it before, but this really resonates with me with what we're doing with Carrot too, where one of the things that is really, really hard for people to try to rip off or copy. I mean, I think it's impossible for them to do it, because they're gonna have to come up with their own way. Is the experience you guys provide, is the culture you guys have created within your company, their culture you've created with your clients. That's something that they could completely take your exact logo, your exact website, everything that goes with it. You could give them your procedure checklist, exactly how you market to get deals, how you sell your deals. And my guess is no one could ever even touch being close to what you guys are doing because of what's baked into your culture, what's baked into your fabric. How did you guys do that? Was it intentional from the start, and kind of guide us through that journey, how culture and experience was such a great, such a big part of your business?
Well, so here's for everyone watching to keep in mind, whether you think you do or you think you don't, you absolutely have a culture.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have identified it yet. You may not have focused yet, but you have a culture. And for us, we identified early on the kind of culture that we wanted. Now, my dad is, for those that may have met him or haven't met him, whatever, he's an imposing figure. He definitely kind of puts his will out there, and he was our culture to begin with. So he had kind of created what the culture was going to be. And what we wanted, the shift that we wanted to make was we wanted less imposition from him. We wanted it to be less about him and more about the team, mm-hmm. more about this atmosphere of excellence, of accountability, of inspecting what you expect all the time. And that includes of yourself or anybody that works for you. And we began to study this as a team. We would spend time studying books and really letting that kind of seep into the kind of, you use the word fabric. The fabric of our company was this idea of getting better and getting better and getting better. And, mm-hmm. you know, we read the book as a team, Becoming a Category of One by Joe Calloway. So what separated us, what began to separate us from anybody else and help us kind of realize that we wanted to be a Category of One company was this culture of excellence, which is really what it was. It was, we didn't want average. If you were average, you couldn't work here. We've had turnover. You know, some companies love to hang their hat on. We've never lost it. No, we've lost plenty of people that they just couldn't keep up. Mm. And that's okay. It didn't make us mad. It wasn't a badge of honor by any stretch. So I don't mean to say that, but it was, we wanted people that could push themselves to be excellent. That's just what they wanted.
Yep.
And ultimately, in the end, I think we put together this culture around here that everyone holds themselves accountable. Everyone works in customer service. They all understand that it doesn't matter what your job title is. Your job is to serve the client, period. And we tell people that we are a customer service company mm-hmm. that just happens to be in the real estate business. And it's true. That's kind of that thing that kind of goes through our work. Everything we do every day, we're wowing. There's somebody around here that's wowing either each other. They're wowing our residents. They're wowing our vendors. They're wowing our clients. It doesn't matter. It's really cool. There's a ton of these little wow moments all day where you just sit back and go, this is amazing that this is what this has turned into.
Dude, so. I love it. So I'm on your website, and guys and gals, if you're listening to this, go to memphisinvest.com. Check out their website. I mean, if you're wanting to buy properties, connect them and work with them. If you're wanting to kind of learn what a great company does to set themselves up with an amazing culture and just amazing, inner fabric, like I said, browse around their website and go to the tab that says Meet Memphis Invest. I'm on the page right now. It's core values. And dude, this is one thing that's really important to me. And you'll find this on our about page on Carrot. It's something that I've got my core values poster literally on my wall, and it's always in my viewpoint. Our whole team has core value posters on their walls. We use our core values in our vision. We use our core values in our marketing and all that kind of stuff. And it's a big deal. So I'm just going to read through kind of some of your guys' here. And like I said, guys and girls, go to memphisinvest.com and check them out. But always do the right thing. Deliver a wow experience. You just used that word like five times in the last minute, which I love it because, you know, like you're living these core values. Give superior customer service, never stop improving, be accountable, be honest, be open-minded, be humble, have commitment, and have passion for what you do. And you guys have an amazing mission statement on there. And I really, really would suggest people go check out their about page because no matter what type of business you are, we have found in our data that one of the top three pages, usually number three, is always your about page, no matter if it's seller site, buyer site, tenants, even on our Carrot site selling software. And what people are looking for is they're looking for a company with heart. They're looking for a company they can trust. They're looking for a company that has people behind it, not people hiding behind something. And you can tell that there's a real company that cares here. Dude, so did you guys have the core values from day one, or is that something you one day it's like, you know what, we need to actually sit down and be intentional with this?
We sat down and wanted to be intentional with it. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing, it's just like your culture, your core values are always there. Mm-hmm. But this was, we sat down and decided to be intentional with writing them out. And it's so funny, man. So on a daily basis, our leadership team is sitting there together and we'll come across something. And we've taught our leaders to be this way in all of our departments, in all three cities. We have a decision to make. And the very first thing we go to is the core values and look at like number one, always do the right thing. It's so simple. Mm-hmm. It's so simple when it comes down to it, to make hard decisions by saying, just do the right thing. And you know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's kind of freeing because it makes decision making very simple.
Mm-hmm. And dude, one thing I'm learning too, as our team's growing, I know your guys' team is way bigger than us. What's your team size right now?
We're at 75 now.
So that's a big team. So you guys are a big organization. We're about 10 right now. And we keep on growing at a good clip. But one thing that I've had to really internalize myself as I become a better leader and not just a practitioner in the certain craft, which every single business that owner or that founder is going to eventually become more of a leader and less of a tactician, as your team grows anyway. And dude, when people come to me, you know, cause everyone is really ingrained in our core values and they ask a question. Now I've had to switch over into rather than answering it. It's like, what would you do, if I wasn't here? How would you solve that? Or what's your gut tell you? Or is it in alignment with our core values? And dude, I can't tell you how powerful that's been because it empowers the team, as you know, better than I do, but also empowers us as leaders to step back and go, you know what? If as long as we've got the right people that believe in the same core values we do and that have that skill set, they're going to do over the long term what's right for the company.
You know, before we got started, you and I connected just for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I know personally, one of the things that you're like part of your personal mission right now is to become a better leader. You're really working hard on your leadership. And let me tell you something that for you and for everybody that's listening here, you know, as leaders, we haven't stepped out of our business. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is still our company, but we learned to turn over much of the day-to-day to our leadership team. We've learned to trust, and we hope that the impression that we've left on them, the way that we've taught and managed, is one that they will carry on what we do. And this is what I was going to tell you, that, and this is real for anybody that's out there, the sign of a great leader is what happens when they're not around. Mm-hmm. That's really what separates those that are just dictators and those that are teachers. Mm-hmm. And the best leaders are teachers because they're teaching the next leader behind them. They are lifting people up and preparing them and getting them ready. What you just said, I love, because I couldn't agree with it more, that involving other people, getting their input, letting them know that they have value. Whether you do what they say, or you just kind of guide them in the right direction and kind of emulate for them what it is that they want to do in the future. That's what leadership is. That is the best leader, is the one that says, I'm going to not just do, but teach. Mm-hmm. And so that whatever it is that you need to focus on, you've got the team in place that everything goes, decisions are made exactly the way you would make them. And I'll emphasize this, that it may not always be exactly, but it's always done with the same thought process and always done carefully. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Dude, so thinking back, can you think of any examples, and be as specific as you want, but can you think of any examples where you you realize that you had failed in that moment as a leader, and then you notice it and you fix it and improve that side of your leadership?
Well, so I can think of a couple of things, and we'll say, it's not because it doesn't bother me to say fail. I mean, so on our property management side, there's decisions that are made daily and, that we don't need to be involved in, but we heard, you know, we lead by, my dad calls it lead by wandering. He gets up and just wanders the offices all the time and just goes and just listens and talks. How you doing? Just you wander around your people and you get feedback. Well, we got feedback that something was being done that was different than the way we had originally set it up to be done. So we brought the leadership team in and they laid out for us the decision they had made and why they had made it. It was something, it was minor, but it, to us, it was still a change in the way we wanted things.
Yeah.
And it was interesting for us because it was one of those times when you sit a leader down and you tell them that you did what we asked you to do. You led, you made a decision. Mm-hmm. You have given us your breakdown. You've methodically shown us, you know, the thought process you went through and how you came to your conclusion. It's not the same one we would have come to, but I'm not mad at you about that.
Mm-hmm.
You went through the process. Now I'm going to educate you on what it is and why we originally set it up this way so that you won't go and change it the next time.
Gotcha. And
it, you know, it's giving people freedom. It's funny because there's some people that we yell at, and there's some people that we don't yell at because you have to treat people differently. And there's some people that can get in there and you can get dirty with them. They it doesn't matter. You know, you can beat them up a little bit bloody and they're good. They're like, I want that. That's how I'm going to learn it better. There's others you have to be more delicate with, but, it doesn't mean that they're not good leaders. My point is that, yeah, there's been instances where decisions have been made and we've had to, this is where we've grown as leaders, had to learn to say, that's okay. As long as you followed a process and you can stand behind it and say, this is what I did and why you made a decision. That's what I pay you to do. That's what you're here for. Now I'll help you understand if I didn't like it or not. And those things happen. I mean, those things happen all the time when you've got 75 people and all decisions that are made, but it's really good. Those are great teaching moments.
I love it, man. So I want to dive in for a couple minutes on culture stuff and kind of how you really wow that client. I know we were at the mastermind down there, you know, last year in San Diego, and you guys had shared your culture book and you guys had shared some of those really cool things you guys do when your clients buy properties and there's certain levels and they get these cool things in the mail. What are some of the things you guys do to separate yourselves and really build that tighter connection with the client and build that culture with them?
Well, you know, for us, our core business is providing a passive investment.
Mm-hmm.
Most investors they're nowhere near their investments. I mean, they live in other cities, you know, other areas, and they're investing less in a property and more in us as a company. And the fear of that is that they don't know what's going on. And we recognize that early on. So a few years ago, we started our customer service department that reaches out every month to every client.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing? We want you to know that we're here, we're in business. We didn't close up. We didn't disappear. A few years ago, there was the Mississippi River was at a flood stage and was flooding down here in Memphis. And of course, the national news is talking about it like it is just an epic disaster of epic proportions. And it wasn't, but nobody knew that. So we, you know, took time to reach out to all of our clients individually and let them know your properties are fine. We're fine. Our family's fine. You know, everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awareness. Okay. So what do? We put people in place to keep our clients aware of where they stand, what's happening, what's going on with us as a company. We do a lot of videos, a lot of blogging, a lot of outreach, just a lot of touches is really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we committed the resources and the team members to do it. We told, you know, when we first did it, we were a company that said, we're going to hire a position here that is not going to produce a single dollar.
Yep.
They don't produce anything. But it was the greatest decision we ever made because they produce so much more than anyone else in the company with the level of comfort that they give our clients. So then clients build their portfolios. They keep building and building and building because their level of trust, their level of, you know, awareness of who we are and what we're doing grows. So, you know, and I'll tell you that people are wowed by that. They're wowed by all the different touches. anytime somebody has a child or a granddaughter or a grandbaby or whatever it ends up being, they get a little gift from us. And those are so simple. That's a nothing thing, but it's a touch. And anybody that's watching this, you should know that it's such a, even though we may think that it's nothing to send a onesie with your logo on it that says, you know, for us, it says future investor, holding my future retirement, whatever it ends up being. So few people do it that it does set you apart.
You may think that,
yeah, it's so small, so simple, but it's huge. Thank you cards. We send out a ton of handwritten thank you cards. You know, and we're constantly trying to find new ways to touch and help our clients just be aware that we're here. You're safe. We're doing what we told you we would do with your investment. It pays off.
Dude, I could talk to you for hours on this topic, but I know we don't have that time on this one. So it's so funny here at Carrot. Same thing, probably about 2 years ago, we started implementing a lot of that kind of, you know, how can we get things in people's hands? Because that's one thing a lot of people these days, they use digital way too much. Maybe not way too much, but they don't use analog enough. Okay. So they're not getting something in someone's hands, whether that's a physical card. You know, oftentimes people, especially internet companies, will email out a Christmas card or something like that. Every year we have a custom one made and we mail them out to all the clients that fit this profile and stuff. We started making our own line of dolls, which I think you've seen some of those, but
they're right on the stuff behind you. I love it. Yeah,
exactly, man. Yeah. So you got some of the dolls there. We just came out with our new one. We come out with one to two new designs every year. And our next one we're coming out with is, Agent, Carrot. Cause we're coming out with Agent Carrot for agents here in January. And he's all in a black tie and like a suit and, you know, the whole thing with glasses, looking like a special agent. So we send those out at milestones. And it's funny you mentioned the onesie. We started sending out onesies to our clients, and I want to tell people why this is important. No matter what type of business you're in, even if you're a wholesaler getting started, you might be looking at this going like, how is this applicable to me? Really, this episode of the podcast is probably more aimed to the guy or gal who's got a consistent business. They're looking to take it to the next level, build more mission, more purpose into their business. Probably not for the starter per se. You can learn a lot from it. But the onesies we were looking at and we're going, man, so how can we not just build a connection with them, but build a connection with someone or something that they care so much about that it builds this massive connection with their family and our company? Because the closer that we can get connected to their family, the more likely that we can really get closer to them and build that greater relationship and help them more. And so we have these t-shirts. Actually, I'm wearing one right now, but it's just an orange shirt. It has a Carrot logo on it, you know? And we were looking at it one day and one of our clients had a baby. We're like, oh, we need to get a onesie that's all orange that has Carrot, then has like a little thing over the top that says baby. So baby Carrot. And we started sending those out a couple of years ago. And I'm sure you guys see the same thing. But number one, people will take pictures of them. So that's cool. Yes. And they'll post them on social media. And because that's something no one does that, except for us too, I guess. And then we'll get so many amazing comments where we got this one from a client in San Diego, Michael Borger. And I met up with him when we were down in San Diego at the last event in January, and he showed me a picture on his phone, and he's started to choke up, and he's like, man, he goes, I loved you guys before, and I was like totally a Carrot person before, but as soon as I got this, he's like, I'm Carrot for life. And he goes, man, the stuff you've done for me before, sending me books and this and that was for me, but this was for my daughter, and it was his first kid. And man, it started making me choke up too. And I'm like, man, that's why we're in business. Cause of course you got to have money to keep a sustainable, healthy business. You got to have profit. You have to. Sure. You also want to make sure your livelihood and your family and your team is taken care of. But then for us, every dollar over that, it gives us the flexibility and leeway to have fun with the business, to build mission and purpose. And dude, you guys are doing it to a huge level. And I just really look up to what you guys are doing and taking notes, man, for sure.
Well, let me tell you that even for that wholesaler that's watching this right now, that person that's getting new, you know, new into the business, or they're small, they're not at scale like we may be, I want to make sure that they hear the right message. Mm-hmm. That is that no matter what your business is, no matter what you do, it's relationship.
Yep.
And if you're a wholesaler and you're thinking, well, I buy a different house from a different person every time, so I can't build, you're focusing on the wrong side of your business. Focus on the other side. Mm-hmm. Focus on who you're selling your property to. Focus on who it is you're trying to provide try and build relationships with someone that comes to you and buys everything with you and doesn't try and beat your price down every single time, mm-hmm. because they respect you and you built a relationship with them and you've explained to them that I've got to make my piece and you've got to make your piece. We got to both make it. But if you make it all the time and I don't, I'm out. Yep. If I price so high and you can't buy mine, I'm out. So it is you want to build relationships where your common interests are success of both of you. Mm-hmm. And the best way to build relationships is like what we're sitting here talking about. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, or even the business. These are simple things. All these are is caring. It's truly caring about who you do business with and doing things that, you know, if we send out 10 investor plaques. So we give our investors a plaque every time they buy a house. You give them a plaque with a picture on it, tells them what number house it is and how, you know, how close they are to building their ultimate portfolio that they wanted to build. And we don't get pictures from all of them, but we don't do it to get a picture. We do it because every once in a while we get something back and somebody says, I'm just blown away. Mm. Like I cannot, like, A, I never thought I would have a portfolio and here it is. You just sent me a plaque with number 5 and I'm in the WOW group, which is that's a special designation with our company. You know that it matters to every single person you do business with, but every once in a while that little reminder comes through that shows you that, hey, this is why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what you do. It's relationship.
Yep.
If you can build long-term relationship and have touches with your clients, which I'm going to tie it back to grocery. I told you that everything we did was – so we used to run the groceries. You know, we bagged the groceries, run them out to the car, physically put them in the car, run the cart back inside. We didn't have cart carriages out on the parking lot because you didn't leave carts out there. No client took their carts out. You took the bags out. If you didn't, my dad would – I would be sore for a week from the butt chewing if I didn't do that. But it instilled in me this idea that what happened was Mrs. Jones would come do her grocery shopping with us. You know, the Stevens family would come do the whomever. They knew us. They wanted what we brought. We weren't the big chain store that was impersonal. We were extremely personal. We built long-term relationships. Every business that we've ever done, everyone we've ever done has been built on that same premise. That's what this one's built on. It's built on if a client comes to you and they buy one house, we failed.
Yep.
We failed because our mission is to build a portfolio for someone and to wow them so much that they're like, I want to keep going and keep going. And anybody watching this podcast, they can do the exact same thing. Build your business based on relationship. It's a game changer.
Dude, I've got a question for you. And we have a couple more minutes, actually, because my next interview, we're having to bump it back anyway. He has something coming up with the deal with the property. He's like, dude, I got to bump it back 30 minutes. I've got to take care of this issue with the property. So it's a guy doing deals, which is awesome. So I did a podcast. My younger brother and I, Kyle, we have a podcast called Success at Success. We kind of do some co-podcasts here and there, bring him over to CarrotCast and vice versa. And one I did a couple months ago was with the head of all of Disney World operations, Lee Cockrell. He was head of Disney World operations for about 15 years, created their training there for their leaders and just tons of stuff. Amazing guy. And then I also had in the exact same episode, the CEO of a company out here in Oregon, and they're all over the West Coast now, but they'll do about $300 million this year. It's the largest privately held drive-through coffee company in America called Dutch Bros. And they sell coffee and they have, you know, their product is coffee and energy drinks and this kind of thing. Disney, you know, their product technically is rides and restaurants and stuff like that. But both of them were very clear that what they actually sell is something completely different. Like in their fabric, when they're talking to their team and when they're relaying the message, they're not selling coffee. Dutch Bros says that they're selling love. And he's like, that's what our team knows that they're selling. What are you guys selling, man? Because you guys are selling real estate, technically. But what is it in your core? You're like, you know what? Real estate's the thing. But here's what we're really selling our client.
We're really selling our client comfort and security.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake about it that just as you were mentioning earlier, there are there's cheaper ways to go about investing in real estate than our company.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that people can do that I don't know that however you want to measure it, it's cheaper to get going. But each of those comes with a certain level of anxiety, a certain level of insecurity, mm-hmm. and lack of comfort. I told you earlier, we have investors from all over the world. Although we really focus on the U.S., we haven't had investors come from all over the world. And we had some investors in this week out of France, and they were a company that represent a large group of investors. And it was so interesting to hear them talk. They said that our investors, being from so far away, they rely on them to provide them with the comfort and security that they need to put their money in the U.S. They said when we were researching, they want to go into the Texas market. They said, we're researching the Texas market, and the only name that comes up is yours. Everywhere. She was like, everywhere we looked, it was this. Who is this company? They're not even from Texas. They're from Tennessee, called Memphis Invest. Who is this company?
Yeah.
And then she said, we searched and we're looking for the dirt and we're looking for the bad reviews and the problem. And she's like, they don't exist. And, and she's like, and part of it is we don't know why. They came to visit our offices in Dallas, and they swung back through Memphis on the way back to France. And they said, we're blown away. So we've never seen anything like it. They said, well, we want to make sure that we tell you that you are by and far unlike any company we've ever seen, because the only thing that you really provide is comfort and security.
That's cool.
That's everything that is here, every position, every decision, every person you hire, everything they're doing, it's all designed to provide a higher level of comfort for your client and make them feel secure in their investment with your company. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, well, you just summed up who we are and what we do in just a couple of quick little sentences. And even with a French accent. So that was awesome. but I'm glad you asked that question, because it's kind of funny, man, that if you're focused on making money and you're focused on selling houses or whatever the widget is that you do, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a hard, and you may be extremely successful at it, but it's going to be more uphill than it has to be.
Yeah. And in the loyalty with your clients, they're going to follow the cheapest deal. You know, they're just going to follow the cheapest deal and cheapest way to get it done. If that's what you're running on. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I tell you that what you find with that type of business is that you can't say no to anybody. You have to say yes to everything. You just have to do whatever you can do. For us, man, we are so blessed. We are so blessed that we say no quite often. And it's for the best interest of the investor, and it's the best interest of our company and the best interest of our investors, that we're not wasting our time with the wrong people. I love our own comfort and security with being able to say no, because it makes us just that much better. So
that's sweet, dude. I'll finish up with this last question, man. So I'm always curious to see what high performers are doing, kind of thinking behind the scenes, and what this year in 2016 are you going to carry over to next year that you're really passionate about, man, that you're like, man, I just didn't do a good job with this year in life in general. Is there something that you're like, you know, I'm going to tackle this next year?
Well, I'm gonna shock you here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing something in May of 2017. I'll turn 45 first, and 10 days later, I'm going to compete in the Keys 100, which is a
really
100-mile race on foot from mile 100 to the end in Key West, straight. And so 2016 was a year when I kind of declared a lot of things. I wanted a lot of things to happen, and I didn't make them happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I told you earlier that sometimes fear creeps in. I've had a fearful year, personally. And so, you know, this is one of those things where I was at that point where I want to know, and I want to break down inside personally and know who I am. What are all the gears? What's all the little things that are inside me that really make me who I am? So a lot of introspection. I'm going to my first Tony Robbins event this year in March. I'm up leveling everything I'm doing. I'm trying to put myself around some really good people. Not that I wasn't around them in 2016, but I stagnated a tad. So I picked something that scared the crap out of me in a 100-mile race. And I've been an endurance athlete all my life, but never at this level ever.
Yeah.
And never with this type of commitment. And so, but I just kind of looked inside and said, who am I? I said, that's what I am. That is what truly drives me. That is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do this because that's who I am. So we'll see.
Dude, that's a big deal, man. And we'll all be here to champion you on and cheer you on, because I know that's not going to be easy. But the same thing, I'm kind of similar, where if I try a little thing, it's way too easy for me to not fulfill on it, which is just a personality flaw that I've got. but I've got to like shock my system with something big to where I have to really change my patterns. And 100 Miler Man is going to do that for you if you're not already running like marathons and stuff. But that's amazing. And I actually may see you at that Tony Robbins event, because funny thing is I'm kind of in a similar place mindset wise for myself. You know, we had an amazing year, and just an amazing year business wise. And there's some shifts we're going to be making business wise with the time that we work. I know for me, when I look at my life, I'm like, man, everything is amazing except for the quality time with my family. And I don't work over 40 hours a week. Most weeks, some I do, some I don't. But I get home at 5 o'clock and I don't like it, you know? So we're going to start adjusting some of that. And I'm like, I need to really up level my own game again on the mindset. So we're looking at that same Tony Robbins event. I'm assuming it's the same one, 'cause it's in March. But anyway, man, I really appreciate you, hopping on the call. I know your time is valuable. And if there's anything that we can do to help you or encourage you on that race or just anything at all, let me know. And also, guys and gals, I'm going to finish with this and I'll toss it back over to you, Chris. But I think the biggest things I really want you guys to take away from this are those fundamentals. You know, as quick as you can, shift your mindset into building a business that truly cares about people, that truly cares about something other than turning the next deal, and build it with that foundation of creating those relationships. And dive over to Chris's website, memphisinvest.com. Just learn everything about that company that you can. You know, if it makes sense to invest with them, awesome, do it. You've heard the type of amazing company they are. But if you can at least gain some inspiration from what they're doing, what we're doing, what other companies who you admire are doing, and take that away and make your business better, this podcast served you. So go out there and do it. Chris, any parting words before we jet, man?
No, man, I appreciated it. This is awesome. Tell everybody to read that sign that's behind you. It's been sitting there staring at them in the face for the past hour.
Yeah.
Okay. And as much as they may be motivated by this, that's the true test right there. What's your action going to be? And hopefully a lot of people take action, man. And if anybody's watching on this that I can connect with or help out in any way, I look forward to it. All right. And I look forward to seeing you soon. I'm sure we'll connect it. That's something this year through my older brother. So
yep, probably see you in January. You gonna be there?
Yeah,
okay,
I'll see you then. We'll be there speaking. Yeah,
awesome. Well, thanks, dude. Have a amazing rest of the week, and we'll talk soon. You might be seeing a little theme here, guys and gals, with the Carrot Cast. Okay, there's a lot of podcasts out there in the real estate space to talk about doing deals all the time and this and that. And that's awesome. There's a lot of amazing podcasts out there. So we didn't want to dilute the market even more with stuff that you can easily and quickly find with a couple Google searches or hitting someone up on BiggerPockets. Okay, so as you saw and listened to on this episode of the Carrot Cast, one of my missions is to amplify leaders, is to find ways to really amplify you to make your greater difference in this world. And one of the best ways to do is by building an amazing business, okay? So that's why we really dive into and unpack those stories from these high-achieving investors like Chris Clothier with Memphis Invest, where we really touch on in a big way those things at their inner fabric, at that core level in their business. What are those fundamentals that really have made them successful? Okay. Just because a certain deal, type of way to get deals or negotiation technique, those are all tactics that help along the way, but they're not the big strategic things that really make the biggest difference. So, on this episode, guys, I mean, there's some amazing nuggets that Chris dove into, but some of the big common threads that I really want you to walk away from this episode of the Carrot Cast with are focus on those fundamentals. Okay, you've got to really pull back and go, okay, how can I be the most credible, the most professional, and the most focused on relationships out of any company in our area? And go get the book that Chris mentioned. I don't remember exactly what it was, but find it in the show notes below if you're on our website at carrotcast.com. But go out there and become a category of one. Okay, quit worrying about your competition. Just solve the problem for your clients the best you possibly can and stand out so you're a category of one. So literally no one out there is truly directly competing against you, just like we see now with Memphis Invest. All right, so guys and gals, go out there and have an amazing rest of the week. Find ways to build in more of your purpose and passion this week. Okay, go out there and make someone's life
happy, enjoyable. Do anything today just to make someone smile. Be that beacon of positivity and possibility. And if you guys need to grow your real estate investment business or real estate agent business leveraging the web, you know where to go. Just go to OnCarrot.com. Pick the plan that's right for you. And we are here to help you along with thousands of other agents and investors that leverage our platform to generate tens of thousands of leads every single month. Far more leads than any other online marketing platform for agents or for investors in the world. And there's a reason why. Just let the results online guide your decision on what you guys should be using. And we're here to help you with the rest. All right. OnCarrot.com. And of course, check out the other episodes of the CarrotCast at CarrotCast.com. Thank you.